Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
So, speaking about the family of faith, we know that the church is not just a gathering of individuals, right? It's more like a family. But just like any family, relationships within the body of Christ require intentional care and patience and love and all of the things, right? And whether that's resolving conflicts or supporting one another or simply just learning to appreciate our differences, right? That's also important. We have to be strong and we have to foster strong Christ-centered relationships, which will strengthen the entire church community. And so to guide us through the conversation on how exactly we can do that, we have joining us on the line Elder Cephas Perry. My elder, good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning. Good morning. And thank you very much for the opportunity. And good morning, listeners. I hope I'm loud and clear. Please advise.
Loud and clear. Loud and clear. Thank you so much, Elder. So glad to have you on the program this morning. Let's get straight into it. My Elder, how can Christians better reflect Christ's love in our relationships with fellow believers? Sometimes I feel like our image out there is just that of hypocrites. And, you know, there's a bad image that's been painted of what Christianity means because of us as Christians. How can we better reflect that love that Jesus has for us?
Yeah, thanks, Bongi. And I would like to appreciate this opportunity. And I did mention, I can't remember if it was you or the other sister who got in touch with me. Mm. I did mention that for some reason, this lesson came to me at a very specific and particular time when I personally am battling with a strained Christian relationship with a brother somewhere.
Oh, wow.
In fact, I received this text of invitation around 2 or 3 in the morning when I was just coming from my knees praying mm-hmm. over a relationship that has soured. This is a relationship of over 30 years.
Oh, my word.
And you know where you just go into a misunderstanding and this brother just says, you know what, even if I die today, I don't expect you to come to my funeral. I will bury myself with my siblings.
Sure.
And I said, good Lord. But to my point, in as much as we are going to have this discussion and conversation, try to help someone, really, in all honesty, this is about me.
Oh, my goodness. And I
don't know if anybody else is going to relate, but I have that impression on my heart. And to start with, I'd like us to consider a verse, which is Romans 12, verse 18.
Mm-hmm.
In one particular version, it says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Now, Bongi, that's one of the most complex versions that we always use.
Mm-hmm.
A simplified version, which has something that I want us to look at, says, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, I hope you caught that, maintain peace with everyone, as far as it depends on you.
Yeah.
And to your point, at this point, the Bible does not in any way say we will never have conflicts or struggles within our Christian relations.
Sure.
And the Bible is very cognizant of the fact that these strains in the relationships will come. And the Bible also, by implication, I'm not a theologian, implication, the Bible also seems to suggest that at times we will not have peace amongst us, not because of ourselves, but because of the other party.
Yeah.
And the Bible is quick to mention, to say, if there are times when it's possible to have peace and you are the one who would be the peacemaker, please maintain peace with everyone. And for me, it struck me to say, even as we proceed in the conversation, there's an angle where we need to lean on to say, there are times when I need to swallow my ego.
Yes.
There are times when I should take the hit for the sake of peace. There are times, Sister Bongi, when I should be there to appear to be the bad one for the sake of peace. One of the biggest mistakes that comes in is where people strive so much because and not to be at
sure.
People tend to social media. I recently was talking to a friend of mine who, you know, Bongi, where you don't have to know that this person is going through something just by their Facebook post. You can tell there's something.
Yeah.
You know?
Sure. My goodness, that's incredible.
You could
I think, my elder, when you talk about the humility, the putting away of your ego, that means even when you actually said it, you said sometimes you're going to have to appear to be the villain in the story. If that's what it takes to create peace, you have to be willing to say, I will swallow my pride. Even if you are the one who was wrong, I will come and apologize. I will come and make peace. I'll make the first move. And when we look at the example that we get from Jesus Christ himself and the way that he related with us, he came down to die for us. We didn't come and apologize first. We didn't approach him. From the moment Adam and Eve sinned, they didn't go looking for God in order to confess and repent. God came down to them and you know, asked, where are you, Adam? And I think that's such a powerful example of how we're supposed to relate when we're going through these kinds of conflicts. And let me just say, the fact that you're going through something that is very personal relating to this subject, I think is just another mercy of God, because there's something about getting the insights that you're sharing with us and that you're still yet to share. Getting those insights from someone who's experiencing it is different from what sounds like theory. Sometimes the things that we teach just sound like theory, just nice lessons that we find in the Bible. But when you're hearing someone who's actually in the middle of that experience right now, it hits differently. So thank you so much for sharing that with us. What are some common challenges in church relationships and how can those be addressed? What kind of challenges do we typically face?
Well, Bongi, and the challenges in church relationships, and you agree with me that some of the challenges are cross-cutting. Because your church relations, for the fact that you've chosen to be a religious person, a certain sect of your associates are actually inclined to your churchmates. Agree with me?
Right, sure.
So most of the conflicts that you will find in our circles cut across, they are very similar to what you will find in the church circles. Because if you're my friend, you will find me at church. I'll be the same person that you'll be my gym buddy. You will be the same person that will be my social partner. You say, oh, today there's this event there, here and there. And so most likely the people that you have conflicts within church, to a great extent, for those of us who are religious, who are trying to keep a certain caliber of relations, you will find almost very similar conflicts. For example, cutting across. Some of the challenges for me I find in these in these relations, for example, is something to do with expectations. You know, misaligned or unrealistic expectations. Now, Bongi, I will say this, that in the Christian circles, and I'm trying to be very cautious, there's a lot of high expectations on our brothers and sisters, especially with regards to their spiritual standing.
Sure.
I have seen people differ just over a dress or apparel that they're going to wear for an AY youth social outing. Somebody says, how, my brother, how do you dress like this?
Right.
Then somebody just comes and says, what was the expectation? So high expectations. You expect somebody to go into a swimming pool in a well-done Turkish suit. That's not possible. Right. That's not possible, man. But in the Christian circles, there's this high expectation. I won't give free information if you didn't know. I grew up as a pastor's kid. To your point, probably I'm speaking a lot from experience. And there was a lot of expectations, very high expectations. At times when you, as a young person, you just want to be naughty. And say, no, you're a pastor's kid. You can't. And I'm like, oh, but everybody else is doing this. You know? Everybody else has got a certain brand of genes. So within the Christian circles, one of the issues, I mean, because of time, I'll talk about the unrealistic expectations. Expectations, and these are Christian expectations. Your level of spirituality, you're expected to know so much. In as much as you are building day by day, studying, somebody just come and say, an Adventist of so many years cannot be eating meat. I'm like, what? But this is a person who is also working on their own personal weaknesses. And so some of these, for me, this is one other issue. There are simple things, and I remember I'm trying to build on things that are common in the Christians' relations and just ordinary relations, just for the sake of somebody else who might be listening in, who may be away from our usual circles.
Mm-hmm.
People talk about the issue of communication. This is something that we all talk about in any kind of relations, even in the Christian circles. Now, when in the Christian circles, we talk about, I mean, if we're talking about marriage, people say, no, lack of communication, no, wrong communication is wrong. But in the Christian circles, how can we bring in communication?
Yeah.
Somewhere in the Bible, there's a verse which talks about speaking the truth in love. Should be Ephesians 4:15. How many times, Bongi, when you who knows the truth, and we are not even going to discount it, what we have is the truth.
Mm-hmm.
But then the question comes in, how do we relay this truth?
Yeah.
Speaking the truth in love. So communication in our Christian relations, many times people are in the vein, and you know their brothers. I mean, I grew up with certain brothers who just stand up and say, if your dress or your skirt is above the knees, you are going to burn.
Hey.
and the sister comes and says, you know, this was the first time of me coming to church, and this is the most decent dress.
Yeah.
Yes, that could be the truth. But can we tell it in love? It becomes a point of conflict just there because of how we've communicated it. And I would have had so many points on this, but you see, the issue of holding on to past grudges and past hurts, you know, unresolved issues within the church, also bringing amongst Christians, also bringing a lot of conflicts. Where I am, Bongi, in the jurisdiction where I am, I don't know about where you are.
Mm-hmm.
There is this thing, you know, where somebody goes wayward, they are disciplined through the church structures, through the religious structures.
Yeah.
There are cases, and I'll, in not trying to be very exact so that nobody can add up one or two. There are cases where somebody has been disciplined, agreed they've done wrong.
Yeah.
And nobody follows up with this person. And this person becomes so bitter, man.
Yes.
This person becomes so bitter to the extent where this person says, you guys are more interested in seeing me removed from the books or record of the church than, and this person just becomes bitter with the Christian body because of how we handled them on these grudges.
Hey.
Can we be more sensitive? These things have split families where you go to a church, there's this sect of the church which says, this brother was not fairly treated. Because of this, we are with him. This other sect says, no, this one was wrong and we are standing our ground. And the church, the Christian body is split.
Eish.
The message of Christ is a message of unity, of love, of peace.
Yes.
Where possible, Wongi, can we live at peace with everyone? I'll leave it at that. I would have put in more points, but I mean, I'll leave it at that for the sake of time.
Sure, that is definitely such a mouthful. I know of someone, a friend of ours who was in a certain town. I also don't want to be too specific, but he had that exact experience that you're talking about. After many years in church and having done something wrong and was disciplined, and he was so disappointed that the whole time that he had been, because of the, I guess he felt shame or embarrassment or whatever, so he stopped going to church. But on top of stopping to go to church, he was so disappointed that no one even came to look for him. No one. Through all the months that he didn't go to church, none of the people who disciplined him came back to check on him and say, no, man, you have not been you've not been fired from the church body. Still come to church. You know, you're going to go through whatever the disciplinary measures have been taken, but that doesn't mean you're no longer a part of our family. Nobody came to look for him or to check if he was okay during all those months. It was almost a year. And he says, not one person from my church came to check on me. And that just made him feel like, what's the point? Why am I even a part of this family? You know? And for sure, that can really make you feel like it almost feels like outside in the world, you might find more acceptance. And that's not to say we should just accept anything and everything. But like you're saying, even as we preach the truth, there has to be love attached to it. Not for our children. Imagine our own children saying that they find more love and more acceptance out there than they do here. That's painful. That's a terrible situation to be in. Sure. Now, why is unity within the church so crucial, my elder? How does it impact our spiritual growth?
Before I even talk about why and how it impacts our spiritual growth, Bongi, during the again, I can't remember if it was you or it was Sister, what's her name again?
Zanele.
Yes, who reached out to me. And the last two times, this time around when you called, I was like, I just have to be there. Because the last two times, the first time when I was supposed to be on call, driving from Pretoria to Lusaka, Zambia. Uh-huh. And that's a long journey, so I couldn't make it. The other time she called me, I was supposed to be on call. I was jumping onto a almost 25 hours flight. I couldn't make it. So on one of those travels, Bongi, I had an encounter with somebody, a high-ranking church official, who was going to release a report. And this is something that's going to be in public domain very soon. And I think it's already in public domain. But was looking at how, as a church, as a Christian body, through the years, we have brought in so many people into the church, but we are also losing so many.
Hey.
In the Christian dome, in the corporate world, if you're looking at issues of sales and numbers, we've been talking about, we've brought in so many acquisitions, you know, but we have so much churn, so much loss, to an extent where we are losing in millions of church members. And Bongi, this is not losing to death, no. Mm-mm. Losing to where somebody, this is Sister Bongi, I've always known her to be Adventist or to be this Christian.
Yeah.
And she has proposed in her heart that right now she doesn't want anything to do with religion. She's out.
Hey.
Now, I don't want to go into the details, but the numbers are alarming. When you look at the numbers, in fact, on one of the graphs, and these are statistical graphs, the man says, 4 out of 10 church members, Bongi, are going to leave the church.
4 out of 10.
4 out of 10, man. And this is statistics that are there on websites, our in-house websites are there. 4 out of, and like I said, this is not 4 out of 10 leaving because of
death.
This is somebody who has tested the goodness.
Mm.
And they say, I am leaving.
Yeah.
Now, when you look at that, my swipe, to your question, when you look at the high number of people that are leaving the church because of hate, because of misinformation, then you ask yourself, do we have the luxury to have these conflicts amongst us?
Hey.
When there are so many who are dying and perishing out there, who need to be brought back. I've twisted your question a little bit, but I want you to feel that pain to say, if amongst ourselves, I'm not even talking about going out there to go and do outdoor campaigns to bring in people. No. Amongst ourselves, before you even talk about reaching out, reaching in, amongst ourselves, there's so many people who are turning away and going out. Do we have that luxury of having differences amongst ourselves? And you see, the thing that the devil has even permeated and come through our ranks to a point where we have so much lost our course. And so for me, when you ask to say the implication on our spiritual standing and everything else, the church cannot afford not to be united.
Yeah.
Unity within the church is crucial because it reflects the nature of God and fulfills God's commission of bringing in the shoes, bringing in everyone. Unity within the church is, we cannot overemphasize the importance because it reflects the whole nature of God. God exists in perfect unity. He says, I and my Father are one. And you who claims to be part of him should be one as well. You will not attain true Christian spirituality or righteousness if amongst yourselves you are not one. Remember the Pentecost. Pentecost, Holy Spirit came down in the form of tongues of fire when they were in one accord.
Mm.
Some of the reasons why we are not seeing a full manifestation even of the latter rains in our times of the Holy Spirit is because you and I, Bongi, are not one.
Yeah.
And when they were one, the Bible records are very clear. When they became one, they did great exploits. When the disciples were crying to say, Lord, Jesus is leaving us. He is going. He says, I will send you another comforter. And with this comforter, you will do greater things. Even in the absence of Christ, if we are united, we'll do greater things. But alas, we are not united. And these greater exploits, even in our spiritual lives, will not be attained for as long as our Christian relations are strained.
Beautiful.
It strengthens the body of Christ. It strengthens the body of Christ. Yeah. I'll leave it at that because of time again.
Yeah, that's my goodness. When I think about those stats that you're sharing there, and the fact that, like you said, we're not even talking about those outside who are rejecting the truth. We're talking about those who have come to know the truth. They're coming from inside and they're not feeling the love. Imagine the people within the family saying they don't feel it. They're not feeling the presence of Jesus Christ. They're not, the experience is not fulfilling, such that let me rather leave, literally like jumping off a plane, jumping off the boat and saying, I'll swim, I'll find my way somewhere else, but this, I have to get out of here. That's such a sad reality. And it's so easy for us to say, let them go. They were never serious, right? Just when we have that attitude, that's a sign that you literally did not see them as your brother or sister, because if that was your literal family, you would not be so casual about letting them go. You would fight tooth and nail and say, no, Lord, make sure, please show me what I need to do in order to make sure this person does not leave this family. And that's the kind of love we're talking about. The love of Jesus Christ does not just say, go if you want to go. We don't care. And that's so painful to think about that. What biblical examples, my elder, teach us about handling conflict with love and with grace? Like you said, we can't avoid conflict altogether, but how do we handle it with love and grace?
One of my favorite examples, Bongi, is the woman caught in the very act.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, there are so many. The Bible is full of a lot of points of grace where there's been a lot of love shown to people. But I mean, the woman caught in the very act. Mm. So the religious leaders, again, to our point, Bongi, you and I have agreed, we're not talking about worldlings. Religious leaders brought a woman caught in the act to Jesus. These were not lawyers or judges or magistrates.
Yeah.
No, religious leaders in-house. And remember, your line of thought has been very clear. We are talking about conflict amongst ourselves.
Yes.
So the religious leaders, those who knew better, brought a woman to Jesus. Mm. And Jesus says, instead of condemning this woman, and Jesus does not say he is not sure, he is not aware. No, he knows, he's all-knowing. But instead of condemning, which was the verdict of the law dictated that he should have been condemning her.
Yeah.
But instead of condemning, Jesus showed grace and love by challenging her accusers to say, let him who is without sin cast the first stone. And then Jesus goes on and he forgave her and tells her, go and sin no more. The approach that Jesus shows is, there was this conflict. These religious leaders, they literally dragged this woman and they were ready. If you read other commentaries, they even had stones ready to go and stone this woman. Mm. But Jesus comes in. And you see, when there are these conflicts, the cross should be the unifier. For some of these conflicts where you want, there's a conflict among his brethren, and instead of being the peacemaker, you are the one who is pulling your sleeve.
Hey.
May you be the peacemaker in these conflicts. The Bible clear, blessed are the peacemakers.
Amen.
For many times, we have been the ones. You remember the story of Saul when Stephen was being stoned?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Bongi, heaven is going to be a place of a lot of surprises.
Yeah,
man.
Very true.
Because Brother Paul is going to be shocked to find the one who was holding on to the jackets, the winter jackets and the coats.
Yeah.
Of those who were stoning him, to find that brother Saul. Stephen is going to be surprised to find Paul in heaven.
Mm.
Now, for many of us, heaven may not even happen because we have stoned people to death and have not repented.
Yeah.
May we be the peacemakers. And you see, Christ himself comes in and dissolves this conflict by bringing in himself.
Mm-hmm.
And we should be the ones to bring in this. I mean, you look at the, one other standing example that hits me is the story. Remember the story of Joseph, right?
Right.
Joseph and his brothers.
Yes.
Now, this is where there's no even, I'm going to use this term loosely. I'm not a theologian. I can get the heat afterwards.
Sure.
But there's not even any known proof of divine intervention, because it is Joseph who forgives the brothers. When he says, I am the one.
Yeah.
Joseph had the entire capacity, man. This guy was now a high-ranking official. He could have just said, look them up. This guy sold me off.
My own
but
brothers.
With tears. His own blood. His own blood. Where he should have said, this one should be locked up. He says, brethren, I am the one. And he forgave them. And how many times have we been hurt? And to my earlier point, because this was a meditation throughout my presentation, to the earlier point, for the sake of peace, you know, if Joseph wanted to massage his ego, remember, he needed to, these guys had gone away and there was this big gap. You see, it's like, you know, where you meet a childhood friend, you know, like a childhood friend sends you, say, a LinkedIn, you know, invite. Huh?
Yeah.
And this is a guy that you last saw maybe when you were in second grade. One of the first things you do is, let me go to their profile so I can see what they've been up to.
Right.
Because the last time I met them was in second grade.
Yeah.
So you say, oh, okay. So they did their high school. Mm-hmm. I mean, you guys call it your matric, yeah?
Yeah.
Then they went to their uni. Oh, okay. So he got his bachelor's. Oh, and did his master's. Oh, he's got a PhD. Right.
Yeah.
So now, if you're going to meet with this person, you see them driving a very powerful BMW or whatever European car. I didn't say, this is what I am now from the last time you saw me. And that was going to be the lot of Joseph saying, I want to show you.
You must know.
From the last time we met, you must know. Yeah? You must know. But Joseph says, no. This is me. I'm your brother.
Hey.
And how many times have we gone to say, they will know. They will feel it.
Yes.
They will know. But that's not the spirit of heaven, man.
Yeah.
That's not the spirit of heaven. And you find that whole encounter in Genesis 45, verse 1 to 15, just shows you how a Christian who is purposed to be the peacemaker should live. Those two examples for me, I think, Nelly. There are many others like I mentioned, but because of time, I think those two for me will do.
Sure. Beautiful. Beautiful. Yeah, what an incredible conversation this has been. Let's wrap it up with this final, just your thoughts on how we can actually practice kindness and patience and especially forgiveness in our church communities on a daily basis. How can we do that in like the 2 minutes that we have remaining for the segment?
Well, Wongia, I'm going to say that, I mean, the how of this conversation really is just every day being deliberate about being a part of a solution to all the problems that we see.
Sure.
You know, every day praying to say, Lord, today, help me be the peacemaker. And this is about living a prayerful life, living a life consecrated to the Savior, to say, Lord, I cannot live this day just liking and sharing unnecessary Facebook posts. My day to day is going to be of identifying possible conflicts and me being the one who's going to be the peacemaker. Lord, help me be the peacemaker. If there may be any conflicts that come my way, help me not to overreact. Help me to act like Jesus. Help me to be like Joseph, to be the one who will bear the blows and heat. Give me the patience, Lord, to even hold to all the pain and offload them at your cross and at your feet, because you're the one who bears our burdens. There's a song which says, burdens are lifted at Calvary because Jesus is very near.
Yeah.
And so for me, I think the admonition is for us to every day live a life purposefully, to live a life of being the peacemakers. And God is more than willing to give us the ability.
I love that. I love that. I really love that the focus is not on what I should do better, what I need to improve on in my life, but rather focus on Jesus and focus on what he can do in the life in order to help us to reflect his love better towards one another, thereby giving the family of God the attributes that will make it not just a healing place for all of us, but also a place that will attract those out there in the world who are looking for that kind of a home. My elder, thank you so much for your time this morning. It's been a beautiful conversation, and I hope you'll enjoy the rest of your day. Happy Sabbath ahead.
Have a good one, Wongi. Thanks, and a pleasant one to our listeners.
Amen.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.